Hello and welcome to Mystical Frequency. I am your host, Jen, also known as Celestial Light Witch, and my pronouns are they, them. I am an intuitive card reader and spiritual practitioner. This podcast is all about spirituality, energy work, tarot, astrology, and all the mystical things in the universe. Every week, we talk about mystical topics as we try to grasp the understanding of the universe and our human journey. We'll have some guests share their take on their spirituality, because as we all know, everyone's journey and practices never look the same. I'm excited to share this space with you and open our minds together through this journey called life. Now on to the show. Hello and welcome to Mystical Frequency. My name is Jen. My pronouns are they, them, and I'm also known as Celestial Light Witch. Welcome back to the show. Today, I wanted to do a raw episode. I didn't really have anything planned to record up until a few minutes ago, if I'm being honest. I was simply just wanting to create an episode where I didn't have to do too much editing and too much research. And right before I decided to start recording, I was watching a Jubilee video of a group of people that had come out already and a group of people that have not yet come out. And it really got me thinking, because a lot of the people that had come out came out later in life. And if you haven't heard episodes from before, I was actually someone who came out later in life as well. And so I wanted to dive more in depth into the topic of my sexuality, which I know for some people, talking about your sexuality is so personal and it's so such a precious topic to talk about, and a topic that not everyone necessarily wants to kind of like explain to other people. But I do feel compelled to explain and talk about my experience with my sexuality simply because it's such a fundamental focal point in my life. And it actually has a lot to do with my spirituality, and it coincides in my personal story. So this is why I wanted to make this episode. And I feel like it's also showing a little bit more of myself and who I am and what makes me me. This is an episode, maybe not for everyone, but if you are here and you're curious about my journey, or if you have been in a similar boat as me, I very much appreciate you taking the moment to hear my vulnerable story, because I will be sharing a lot of vulnerability in this episode. So thank you for giving me the space to do so. So I'm going to take it back to my childhood. I was born into a Mexican family. My parents are both from Mexico, and I was the first one born here from my family. And I was also raised Catholic, very Mexican, very Catholic. My household was filled with gender roles. My dad, you know, would go to work, come home, eat, relax. My mom would go to work, cook, pick us up from school. Like, everything was always like the gender roles were pretty prominent. And then as well as like with my siblings, I have an older brother, an older sister, and a younger brother. My older brother didn't have the same responsibilities my older sister did. My older sister had more of the motherly. She kind of raised me as a kid, and she would like feed me, and she would clean, and she would like cook with my mom. My brother would do more of like the boy chores, if you will, you know, in quotes. And so I was just brought up in a very binary household, in a very gendered household. Then you add that with religiousness of it all, because I believe Christianity and Catholicism thrive off of binaries and gender roles. And so, you know, I was Catholic up until my 20s. So I had a lot of things that I had to unlearn from my entire life. And I think as a kid, I didn't, I guess, technically know I was gay. All I knew was that I really enjoyed spending time with my girlfriends. I had a lot of friends that were girls when I was about 5 or 6 years old before we moved to LA. I was born in San Diego, for those who don't know. And so, you know, I would spend time with my friends and we would play Barbies, and I remember even just playing Barbies and like we didn't really play with Ken. It would always be like, you know, girl on girl, like hang out. And I remember this one time, one of my friends, I was like 5 years old, one of my mom's friend's daughters, we went to their house and we were playing Barbies, but we had built like a little fort in her living room. So there was like a blanket over us and like we were playing Barbies. And I don't know how this happened or how that escalated, but we had our Barbies kiss. And when our Barbies kissed, it kind of like triggered something in me where I was like, I don't know, like I was a kid, you know, but like I was just like, it made my heart feel a certain way. So I very much like had this like internal, like deep down into my soul, I had this like internal thing of like, why does that feel so right? Why does the Barbie and the Barbie, why do they look so good together? And then me and my friend ended up giving each other a kiss. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, you're so young, like how? But it happened. That's something that happened in my childhood. I was 5 years old and that stuck with me. And I remember feeling like so many emotions. I felt guilty. I felt happy. I felt confused. I felt like I had done something really bad. And but at the same time, it felt right. Nonetheless, we end up like moving, and throughout like elementary school, I was always kind of a loner. And I ended up just having like one friend throughout elementary school. Okay, now we move to sixth grade. Sixth grade, we end up moving to Ontario, which is the Inland Empire. For those who don't know, it's kind of a suburb of not LA, but it's like an hour from LA. And that's kind of where I grew up. I grew up in Ontario. And we moved there when I was in sixth grade. So I was in sixth grade and I went to a school. It was like an elementary school that went up to sixth grade. And I made one friend. Her name was Adriana. And she was definitely queer. Like throughout my whole childhood, like I always ended up gravitating towards friends that were queer. And maybe you're thinking like, oh, you're in sixth grade. How do you know that she was queer? Well, yeah. She ended up being queer. But she was like, kind of like, she would dress like a little bit more masculine and like, she wasn't like a girly girl technically. And I just like would gravitate subconsciously, I think, to queer folks for friends. And that extended all the way to middle school and high school. And I think it was around middle school when I started to kind of like be conscious of the fact that I was queer, because even though I made myself boy crazy going after boys, I think I was just seeking love in a way that I had seen in the media, and the way I had seen in movies, and the way I had seen in the outside world. I didn't have anything to depict queer love besides my mom's little sister. My mom's little sister, who's my aunt, she was like the only queer adult person I knew in person, you know? And even then, like her relationships at that time, they were kind of like hush hush and something to look down upon. And even though I was religious most of my teenage years, I never had like homophobia towards my friends. I didn't have homophobia towards people around me, but I did have plenty of internalized homophobia. I was disgusted with myself due to my faith, due to the fact that I felt like I could not be myself or else I will not be accepted. Then we go to my sophomore year in high school. In my sophomore year in high school, that's when I knew. That's when I for sure was like, I know I'm gay. Inside, I knew I was gay. I knew I liked girls. But I was trying to acclimate and quiet those thoughts. And so I dated, you know, I had a serious boyfriend who I had from sophomore year all the way till first semester of college. And he was long distance. And that in itself, looking back at the grand scheme of things, I think I did that intentionally because, you know, it was someone who wasn't around, someone I didn't have to like be super affectionate with. And like subconsciously, I was just kind of like, well, like, no one will know that I'm gay because like I'm friends or I'm with this guy. And yes, I don't see him. Yes, I don't want to like go to dances with him or anything. But like, you know, let me have love in that sense. That's kind of a way and not necessarily like physical. And so, you know, in high school, that's when it really, really was evident to me that I was suppressing my queerness. And I think there was a point in time where I wanted to come out, but during my high school years, my father dealt with alcoholism and he had a lot of abusive tendencies. And due to his addiction, I did not feel safe. I did not feel safe to be myself. I did not even feel safe to just shake anything at home because everything at home was tumultuous and unsafe. And so that was never going to happen. So I think because of all those years where I was just like, well, it's not safe for me to come out, I just suppressed my sexuality. And I suppressed it to the point where I got into a few serious relationships with men. And I think the reason I was always in relationships where they ended up always cheating on me, I think that might have been a subconscious thing because I don't think it's like a coincidence that every single man I ever dated cheated on me. And that was like my experience. I had a serious relationship from the age of 19 to 22. And he was older than me. He was emotionally abusive, manipulative. He ended up assaulting me. He ended up just being one of the most hard lessons in my life. And then after that relationship, I started dating someone else for about a year. And they ended up cheating on me, which I later found out. And then I met someone else who I ended up moving for. I moved to the Bay Area for this person, and we were together for almost 2 years, and I lived up in the Bay Area for that about a year and a half because of him, and he ended up cheating on me too. And so like I kept repeating a lot of the same patterns of like being with men who were emotionally abusive, had tendencies of just being manipulative and just like being really shitty to me. And they all ended up cheating on me too. And so I think in my last relationship with the man that I had, he wasn't like as bad as them. And I think that's kind of the reason why I was like, well, he's the nicest one. Like, I don't know if he cheated on me, if I'm being honest. Like, he might have not. But like, he wasn't perfect by any means, but he was the best one out of all of them in the sense of how I was treated, in the way that I was seen. And the big reason why I came out was because we were on the verge of getting engaged. It really set in for me the fact that I was going to be in this place of like, either I follow through with this engagement, I follow through with this marriage, I follow through with possibly having children. But what does that actually mean for me? Who really am I? I found myself in this place of hating myself for not allowing myself to truly live my life authentically. And I think COVID had a huge impact on me because that's the time I felt like I had to self-reflect and to really recognize that if I chose not to come out, I would probably be like 50 years old, being married to this man, possibly have brought children into the world. and I would be coming out much later in life. I think I painted that picture for myself one day. And I asked myself, like, do I really want that? Do I really want to prolong the pain? Not only for the people around me, but for myself. Did I really want to take away the opportunity for me to live my life authentically in being who I am? And I think when I answered those questions for myself, that's when I had my answer. I started my spiritual enlightenment in 2020. That's kind of what pushed me to the point where I felt like I need to do this. And there were other factors which I have spoken about in previous episodes. For those who don't know, I had my own, what I thought was my twin flame journey. And that's in a different episode. So if you want to kind of hear more about that, you can go back to that episode. And I won't touch too much on it on this episode because that's not what it was about. But it very much did push me to my healing process. My healing process just started, and I was in this place where my spirit team was so loud, and they were almost like shaking my world because I needed to do this for myself. And I think what helped me manage the courage to come out to my parents, first and foremost, which were the two people that I was the most scared to come out to. As most queer people, I'm sure, like, encounter the same emotion. I got to a place where the reason and the motivation and the courage that I found was all about my inner child. Because I feel like my inner child was the one that was scared. And I think what my healing process did for me was help me realize that I could protect my inner child. I remember the day I ended the relationship and I told my mom the reason why it ended. And I told my mom that I was gay. And I remember after I told her, I sat with myself and I said, the next person I need to tell is the person that I'm the most afraid of. And that was my dad. And I think I knew at that point that, you know, I was old enough to know that if my parents weren't going to accept me, I could, you know, figure out a way to support myself and like move out, because at the time I was living with my mom and I had enough money to support myself, but not to the point where I could just like move and, you know, be okay. Like I was gonna have to struggle for a little bit. But I got to a point where I was like, you know what? Like, I had a feeling my mom would accept me. And thankfully, I wasn't living with my dad at the time. And I think that helped a lot. And it helped that I've been his caretaker. And so it's like, I almost felt like, well, you owe me, like, forgiveness, you know, in a sense. Even though, like, it's nothing to, like, for me to require him to forgive me because it's just who I am. But I think, like, honestly, what motivated me and pushed me was my healing process and like the work I had done, the work I was starting to do for myself, for my healing process, for the growth of my soul. And I think if it wasn't for that, I don't know if I would have found the courage to do it. I really don't. Some of you may ask, like, why do you make being a lesbian a focal point in your life? Why do you make it a personality trait? I think it has a lot to do with me suppressing it for so long. And now I finally feel so free and I feel so proud to be who I am. I'm so proud of my sexuality. I love saying who I am. I love saying I'm lesbian. I love saying I love women or people that are of the feminine energy. I respect and admire women so much. Women and non-binary folks, like I have this immense love for the feminine energy that I cannot describe. And I always have. I've always been so intrigued and I'm always in awe of anything that has to do with femininity. And as a feminine person, as a person who's non-binary, that's also like a huge thing that I came to terms with, you know, in my process, was like my identity. A lot of people may be confused over the fact that I'm a non-binary person who presents feminine. And that's because like I'm not androgynous necessarily. I am very much love femininity, and I love to express my femininity. I've always been feminine. And for me, my gender identity is so internal. It has to do with my internal identity of who I feel like I am. And even though I very much know and own up that I was raised as a woman and I was raised to embody that femininity, and I respect it and admire it, internally, I feel like I'm just a soul. I don't feel like I am just a full-on woman. I don't feel like I'm a full-on man. I just feel like I am Jen. And to me, Jen is someone who's right in the middle, or neither. And that's how I feel inside. And I know it could be confusing to some people. I know that, you know, referring to a non-binary person is something that is has a little bit of a learning curve. I get it. But it's also not something new. This has always been a thing. Non-binary people have existed the whole timeline of humanity. And I think that's something that's so important for me to like vocalize and show, because it is who I am. I love myself and I respect myself. And that's why I make it a point to talk about gender identity and talk about pronouns, because everyone has their own. And mine are simply they, them, and I'm a non-binary person who, yes, some days I will be dressed to the nines and I will be so fucking feminine and titties out, like maybe not ass out because I don't have an ass, but like I I will embody like the femininity. And some days I don't wear makeup, a lick of makeup. Some days I'm in sweats in a baggy shirt. Sometimes I'm wearing a binder. Sometimes I'm like, I'm just me, you know? And that's why I am who I am. And I also came to terms with my gender identity later in life, simultaneously as like me coming out as a lesbian. And a lot of people get confused over the concept of being a non-binary lesbian. Well, if you look at the definition, it's a woman who is emotionally, romantically, sexually, affectionately, or relationally attracted to another woman or someone who identifies as part of the lesbian community. And that's literally me. Like, I am someone who was born assigned female at birth. Yes, my gender identity is non-binary, which means that I feel like I'm just me. That's the best way to put it. And I'm attracted to other women and non-binary folks. That's my sexuality. That is what being a lesbian is. I knew as soon as I came out, I knew that I was done with men, because I never was in love with a man. I had love for them. I could say that I did have love for them, but I was never emotionally fulfilled, ever. I have never been emotionally fulfilled by a man. Men have always disappointed me in some way, platonically and non-platonically. And I just knew that the love of my moment or the love of my life was not going to be a man. And I was right. And that's why I consider myself a lesbian. And I do use the word queer interchangeably, but to my essence, to my core essence, I'm a lesbian, because I have no desire to be with a man ever again. I think I paid my dues with that. I think I'm at the point where I want to embrace love the way I've always wanted to embrace love, and I want to be loved the way I've always wanted to be loved. And I am. I'm in a place where I'm very happy. I'm the most happy I've ever been with somebody, because I feel seen, I feel heard, I feel respected, I feel so in awe of like the emotions I get to experience with the person I'm with. And I've never had that before, which is sad. But honestly, a lot of people might ask me, like, do you regret not coming out sooner in life? Honestly, like, a little part of me does wish I would have come out sooner, because I feel like I would have like done so many other things. But at the same time, I'm really happy that I came out when I did, because that's when I was emotionally capable of doing it. And that's when I felt ready. And if you're somebody who is queer and you have not come out yet, I understand. I understand you. I understand that it's the scariest thing to think about, to be able to vocalize who you are and express who you are, because you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of judgment. You're afraid of being left to the side. And I just want you to know that that's okay and that's valid, because I wish someone would have told me that. I wish someone would have told me that at my own time is the right time. And I do believe that spirit does guide you to the actual time in which is right for you. And I feel like that's what it was. I feel like spirit said, all right, it's time. It's time for you to live your life. It's time for you to give yourself the opportunity to really fall in love and learn more about yourself. Let me tell you, since I've come out, I've learned so much about myself. I've learned so much about desires I never thought I ever could have. And it's just, I just see life in such a different light. Like, I genuinely see colors so much brighter, so much more vivid. I feel the happiest I've ever been, and that's been the case since I came out. And that's why it's so important to me. That's why my sexuality, my gender identity, all of it is so fucking important to me. And that's why I'm loud about it. Because I want to be the type of person that someone could look up to and know that that could be you. You could be in this place where you finally feel free to be yourself. And that's why I choose to share all of this. You know, I know it's annoying to some people, but I really don't give a shit. Like, I really don't give a shit. To me, it's important. It's a part of me. And I love sharing every part of me. And this is a huge part of me. A huge part of me is my queerness. A huge part of me is my gender identity. And I guarantee you that if you ever hang out with me or talk to me, half the time I'm talking about astrology and half the time I'm talking about being gay. And those are my two favorite topics to talk about, if you didn't know me. That's what I love talking the most about. So that's a little bit of like my journey, I guess. I think that's where I'm going to stop this episode. But I hope you all enjoyed my vulnerability today, because it's definitely something that is really huge in my life. And I really appreciate everyone who listens to this podcast, everybody who supports my business, because I am a non-binary Mexican witch who is a lesbian. In listening to this podcast, you are supporting and you're giving the opportunity for other people to find spaces like this and find safe space and common ground with other people. So I really hope this episode found you well. I hope you all enjoyed it. So I think that's where I'm going to wrap it up for this week's episode of Mystical Frequency. I hope you all enjoyed it, and I will be back again next Tuesday for a whole new show. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to Mystical Frequency. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and follow the podcast, and share it with someone you love. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Celestial Light Witch, as well as TikTok. To book a private reading or healing, visit my website, celestiallightwitch.com. Tune in next week for a whole new show.